Simplicity is not easy, but it creates high impact churches. I want to share just a few minutes about how this season is good to simplify.
Welcome to the Tim Price Go Harvest podcast, where our mission is to equip and encourage ministry leaders. We're so thrilled to have you listening to our podcast, and our prayer is that it will be helpful to you and your teams. If you have any thoughts or questions, feel free to reach out to us at timpriceblog.com. We'd also be honored if you would subscribe and share with others. Heading now to today's episode.
No organization or ministry drifts towards simplicity. Complexity is a byproduct of structure and systems. The more you do, the more you must fight to keep things simple. Now is a great time to get to the root of simplicity in your ministry. If you've been a part of a church of any size for any length of time, you can easily look around and find the places where it has drifted toward complexity. You can see the places where there's just layer upon layer of process or systems in decision making, even of the smallest decisions, and it just wears out everybody involved. You have to, as the leader, create ways to make things more simple. I know there's a lot out there about this. Craig Groeschel has done a lot with this, and some of these thoughts from this post have come from various podcasts of his. I also know Tom Rainer had a great book about simplicity, and I've read several other books about simplicity, not only in ministry and church world, but just in life in general. So here are just a few things, and it's not very long. It's actually kind of simple. The first one is, it begins with you. You alone have the control to simplify your schedule, where you invest your energy and your focus. What three things will make the most impact in your ministry? And what does it take to do those things well? Simplify your schedule so those things can happen during the first part of the week. Put those things at the top of your to-do list, at the very beginning of your day, or at the time when you have the most energy. And if you get those things done, everything else will be icing for the week. Make the most of that important time of the day. For many people, it is in the morning. Shut your door, silence your phone and your device, and focus for 90 minutes. It's amazing to think that we have trouble in our day and age and in our culture focusing for 7 minutes, let alone 90 minutes. But if you can get into that rhythm of closing your door and working for 90 minutes uninterrupted by even your own phone or device, you'll be astonished at what you can accomplish on your main project. If you'd like to brush up on the skills of simple focus and accomplishment, here are just a couple books that I've read that I can recommend. Here's the first one, Deep Work, Getting Valuable Things Done in a Distracted World. This is by Carl Newport. Another one by Carl Newport is called Digital Minimalism, Choosing a Focused Life in a Noisy World. It's also a great book. And then one other one, The Power of Off, A Way to Stay Sane in a Virtual World by Nancy Collier. And maybe that's just because of my own nature of being addicted to my phone and devices and other little things that just creep up and seem to eat away at all my time. But those books have helped me kind of at least think about the concept of keeping track of the main things to focus my time and energy. I've mentioned this several times on the podcast, but one of the things that came from that digital minimalism book was the habit that's now been going on for about 2 or 3 years. And the habit is that I plug my phone in the kitchen to charge at night. I bought a cheap little alarm off of Amazon, and the fact that my phone is in the kitchen allows me to sleep well without thinking about things on my phone. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm motivated to actually get up and go do something because I need to see what else is on my phone. So that is the first thing. It does begin with you. If you want to simplify your organization or your ministry, then it starts with you. And it's going to be a huge help when you get those things going in your life for your organization, your church. Here's the second thing. Develop simple systems. Now, it's going to be a fight to keep your system simple. For the most part, people want to add rules and policies and all kinds of paperwork and layers to everything that happens. And you don't want to do that. You want to make your systems as simple as possible. You want to have easy access for people to take care of the areas they're responsible for, to empower them to make a decision and do what needs to be done. And you can still have control, you can still sign off, you can still have authority, but you are letting people know that we want the systems to be simple. The meetings that you have, we need to simplify those down to as very few as possible. You can empower others to lead meetings. You don't have to be involved in every single thing. And there's a lot of ways that you can look around and you could just pretty much kind of cut your systems in half. The steps that are taken to get things done, make them easier. Part of that's going to come from this third thing that you can do to create simplicity in your church. Again, this isn't easy. It's a fight to keep things simple. So you know, pick what you can here to do. But this one is to trust your leaders and to let them know that. You have a team in place. In fact, in the church, God has entrusted each congregation with everybody they need to accomplish the work right now. You need to trust them, whether they're paid staff, volunteer staff, or church members. Remind them that they can make decisions and do what is best in the areas they're leading and the people they're overseeing. And while it's important to encourage people and not just to leave them hanging out there, it's important to make sure that you've given them direction and you provide what's needed, the resources and other things. But when all that has happened, don't get stifled waiting for each team member to check in with you personally. Trust your leaders and let them know it. All right, and then the last one is just look for other ways to simplify. And this isn't just in your whole organization structure. This is just the little things that are going to help make it more of a culture to be simple. Here's a few of them. Use fewer words. Use fewer website menu items. Create fewer programs in your church. It's been several months now since the pandemic has kind of waned to some degree, but now is a perfect opportunity to not start things that were happening before. Use less promotion. When you do promotion, make sure it counts for the things that are really going to be church-wide. Here's a few other things for your own life. Leave a little earlier in the afternoon or evening. Trust that God will fill the gaps of your work so that you can keep things simple at home. People will know when you're arriving. Your family will be able to have a glimpse of your schedule on a regular basis. And when those regular times are pretty regular, then the emergencies tend to be kind of overlooked a little bit. Ask yourself this question. How can I make life simpler with what I have right now? Now, of course, we could all say, yeah, if we had $2 million, we could make life a lot simpler in a lot of ways. But how can you make life simpler just with the things that you control? We're not against hard work, but we're fighting for simplicity so that we can make more inroads on the things that matter instead of trying to do a little bit of all of it. Getting simple and staying simple is not an easy task, but the rewards are worth it. So here's just a couple things we can think about. John Maxwell has three great questions to help align priorities each day. And so these questions can kind of help us shift from this mediocre status quo sort of do-it-all approach down to the main things. And this is what I was talking about, spending some time in the morning to make that happen. Question number one from John Maxwell here is actually his book, Today Matters. Question number one, what is required of me? Question number two, what will bring the greatest return? And question number three, what will bring the greatest reward? Ask those questions each day about what you need to accomplish. What is required of me? What will bring the greatest return? And what will bring the greatest reward? So the required of me is pretty simple. It might feel like there's a lot, but there are only a handful of things that only you can do. And then what will bring the greatest return? That is a huge implication because those are the things that are going to move the ball down the field. That's what's going to help the church move ahead in organization and ministry and in mission. And then the last thing is really kind of a personal sort of approach, that what will bring the greatest reward. I don't think that God has called us to ministry to have us be frustrated and bummed out and down the dumps all the time. There are frustrating seasons in ministry, to be sure. But whenever we think about what will bring the greatest reward, it's those things that kind of bring alive our own spirits, our own passions. When the lighting of the fire of God at work in us, and we can see that. And that's going to help us prioritize what is most important for today. One thing I know, this idea of being simple and the fact that churches don't drift that way naturally, is that I think the people in your church, your staff, your team, your volunteers, your congregation, they want to win. They want the mission to be accomplished. They want the world to know who Jesus is. They want to be a light in the community, and they want to be used in kingdom work. And I learned this lesson many years back at an all-church staff meeting. There was a custodian there who made a comment about wanting the church to grow and how he tried to do his part to make sure everything was done well so that it wouldn't hinder growth. And he said it so eloquently that it blew my mind, because this was the same church custodian who most days made it seem like he'd be happy if no one ever came in the building. It would stay clean, it would be pristine, and it'd be nice. And I sat there listening to him talk about how he wanted to do his work well so that he wouldn't hinder church growth. And it made me think that deep in the hearts of our church staff, from the pastor down to the custodian, and the church members, from the people who are pillars and totally locked in to the people who are showing up and aren't members yet, is a desire to see God's kingdom come about in mighty and powerful ways. And we want to accomplish the work for the Lord in this community, in this region. So pastors, you're listening to this podcast, don't assume that you're the only one who wants to make things great. Your people do too. Give them credit and start with that as you lead. Start with the end in mind. The whole church is going to benefit if you simplify things. It might not be easy. There's going to be some pruning that takes place. There's going to be some changes that come, and nobody likes change ever, but it is going to help determine your effectiveness in sharing the gospel. The priorities are going to percolate to the top, and it is going to make things better. No church drifts on its own to simplicity. A structure and growth in a church will automatically bring so much complexity that if you're not careful, you'll be swallowed up by it. Simplicity isn't easy, but it creates high impact churches. After this commercial, I want to share one more thing. Thank you for listening and for being a part of the podcast. I am praying for your church today as this podcast drops. I'm praying that your ministry will be effective, that it will grow, that you are enlivened by the Spirit of God to be energetic and optimistic and enthusiastic about leading your people so that they can be on mission for inviting people to turn to and love the Lord. And I'm praying that there will be a lot of attractiveness just because of the contagious faith in your church. And I'm praying that based on the fact that we want our churches, from those that have 40 people to those that have 4,000 or 40,000. We want our churches to make an impact, because this is the tool that Jesus has created in the world to share his love and grace with others. I know there's a myriad of ways that this happens, but the word impact sticks with me today. I want your church to be making an impact for Jesus. I would love to have you share this podcast with anybody that serves along with you, or to share it on your social media, or to rate it or review it. I love sitting around talking about this stuff, and it's great to have you listen here all the way to the end. If you have listened to the end, and you might have already heard this if you've heard other podcasts, but we do have a couple conferences coming up this fall in Troy, Illinois, for anybody who is listening in our geographical area around Illinois or St. Louis area, Missouri. The one conference is on September 17th, 2022. It's called the Ministry Leadership Conference. It's for pastors, worship leaders, student ministry leaders, children's ministry leaders, and hospitality team members. And it's going to be just a one-day event on Saturday, September 17th, with general sessions and breakout focus sessions. And if you would like to find out more about that event, you can go to our website, harvestconferences.org, harvestconferences.org. And I would love to have you register and participate in that and send or bring people from your church. The second one is actually a conference on October 29th. It is called the Fall Rally, and it is for students, 6th grade through 12th grade. The event is from 9:30 a.m. to 4:45 p.m., and we're going to have a lot of fun and preaching and seminars and small groups and prayer and worship, and music and entertainment and Chick-fil-A lunch and a free t-shirt, all the usual stuff but an awesome opportunity for the next generation to gather and to just have a spurt of infusion of faith and being connected to all kinds of other students who are trying to follow Christ. And so again, if you're in our geographical area, I'd love to have you participate in either the Ministry Leadership Conference or the Fall Rally, both here at our church in Troy, Illinois. If you have any questions about that, send me an email, check our website, harvestconferences.org, and you can also read this blog post, Simplicity Isn't Easy, but It Creates High Impact Churches, at timpriceblog.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here next time. Thanks.
Thanks for listening today. We hope this has been encouraging and helpful to you. Stay in touch with us at timpriceblog.com. Until next time, keep following in the footsteps of Jesus and lifting up the name of the Lord. Thanks for your work in ministry.